High temperatures today will range from the low 40s in Iowa to near 70 degrees across western Kentucky. Low temperatures tonight will range from the mid-20s in Iowa to the mid-40s in western Kentucky. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, occasional rain, the high 48, the wind from the north at 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain early. We'll see a low of 38, the wind out of the northwest from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 52, the wind from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear, the low 35. The wind will be light and from the southwest. Thanksgiving Day, sunny with a high of 58, the wind from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low in the low 40s. Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 50s. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. Saturday, showers are likely. Look for a high in the mid-50s. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain and a low in the upper 30s. At noon central time across Illinois and Indiana, a lot of rain reported. Temperatures ranging from the low 40s to the low 50s. At Rockford, 42 degrees. It was 43 at O'Hare, 42 at Bloomington, 45 at Mattoon. Carbondale reported 52 degrees. At South Bend, 41. At Lafayette, 44. Indianapolis and Terre Haute reporting 50 degrees at the top of the hour. Willard Airport reported rain and fog at the top of the hour. The temperature, 43. The dew point, 43. The relative humidity, 100%. The wind out of the north at 21 miles per hour with gusts to 28. The barometric pressure, 29.77 and falling. And at 12:39, 42 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. And it's raining. Hewlett-Packard has had a tumultuous year. Yesterday, the technology company came out with its latest earnings report. HP reported a 90% drop in income. That's still better than what Wall Street analysts were expecting. NPR's Wendy Kaufman has more.
A year ago, HP earned $2.5 billion in the fourth quarter. This year, it was less than $240 million. The company had a sizable write-off in part of its mobile business, and its personal computing unit remains weak. But the biggest news for the quarter was the management shakeup. The board ousted the chief executive and brought in former eBay CEO Meg Whitman.
Actually, I'm very impressed. She's focusing the company back on financial basics.
That's veteran technology analyst Rob Enderle.
She's approached this methodically, and that's really what the company needed. They needed somebody not to come in and, you know, parachute in and start firing from the hip, but somebody to come in and learn what the strengths and weaknesses were and then make decisions based on facts.
One of Whitman's first decisions was to not spin off the company's huge PC business. That's something her predecessor had proposed over the summer. Still, the company faces considerable challenges. Industry-wide, PC sales are declining, and many of HP's other business units are also seeing drops in revenues and profits. Indeed, the company's forecast for the first quarter of next year is weaker than Wall Street had been projecting. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News.
The Occupy Wall Street protest movement has directed much of its anger at big banks. Some people have been burned by high fees and are now satisfying their frustration and their banking needs by moving their money elsewhere. And they are not always going to small banks or credit unions. Some are opting for a giant retailer. Blake Farmer of member station WPLN reports on how many people now bank with Walmart.
At a place like the downtown bus terminal in Nashville, it feels like almost everyone is armed with the Walmart money card. Linda Black is the first person I walk up to, and she's happy to show off her blue plastic.
This me. I use my Walmart card. I do. I love my Walmart card, though.
Like others, Black has not had a good track record with banks, specifically Bank of America.
Every time I went there, I had to, I'm owing this, I'm owing that. How am I owing and I got money there? Why am I still owing? Why, what am I still paying? So I said, forget it, you know.
Black says with Walmart, she hasn't run into unexpected fees, just a flat $3 a month. Lisa Barnes is a waitress who says she's saving money since overdrafting isn't even an option.
You can't spend what you don't have. So you can't go over. I mean, you don't get in trouble with it.
And the card still has many of the advantages of a bank account, such as ATM withdrawals and direct deposit.
I've been using it since last year.
Stacy Nixon is a child care provider who sends her paycheck right to Walmart.
You fill out a form and your money comes directly on the card.
Is it possible to do everything you need to do with this card?
Everything. You can buy stuff offline, you can pay your bills, you can buy the movies from the Redbox. So you can basically do anything with it.
That's why Nixon has closed her bank account, technically joining the ranks of the unbanked. The Federal Reserve estimates roughly 60 million Americans do most of their business in cash. The unbanked have long been targeted by companies like Netspend and H&R Block for prepaid debit cards, but increasingly it's bank customers who are moving to services like the Walmart Money Card.
They are thinking about it in terms of Walmart is where I go to do my money management.
Ben Jackson follows the debit card market for Mercator Advisory Group. He says Walmart has pursued financial services primarily as a way to get customers spending more inside the store. But the banking industry has felt threatened and put up roadblocks. Jackson says Walmart has found a back door.
The banks lobbied very hard to prevent Walmart from getting a bank charter. And in a lot of ways, I think still their worst fears came true and that Walmart is still competing with them.
Walmart didn't make anyone available for an interview, and the company won't say how many money cards are out there, but Jackson estimates as many as 2 million are active right now. Instead of ceding the ground to Walmart, a few traditional financial institutions are coming out with prepaid offerings of their own. But going toe-to-toe with Walmart isn't easy, says finance professor Richard Grant of Lipscomb University. The retail juggernaut has the ability to keep prices low and the lights on all night.
Walmart is open a lot longer than just about any bank I know of. I guess the way to say it is Walmart doesn't have bankers' hours.
Grant says bankers' hours may not be safe for long, especially when so many people like Stacy Nixon are excited by the money card.
They're catching on. I got to persuade my mama to do it now.
Nixon's whole family could be banking at Walmart before long, and there will be more right behind them. The research firm Aite Group predicts double-digit annual growth for prepaid cards through 2014. For NPR News, I'm Blake Farmer in Nashville.
Two movies that open this weekend tap into nostalgia for old films. One of them is The Artist, a black-and-white silent film from an obscure French director. In spite of the silence, the film is generating a lot of talk, including talk about Oscars. NPR's Netta Ulaby met the director at a downtown Los Angeles landmark where part of The Artist was filmed.
This 1920s movie palace is a faded fantasia of Art Deco design. Underneath the swooping marquee stands the director with a difficult name, Michel Hazanavicius. He's lanky in blue jeans and bright yellow sneakers.
So now we're facing the Orpheum. It's a theater on Broadway, I think. Yeah, that's it. On Broadway, downtown.
Today, it's a downtown stretch of grimy storefronts selling knockoff purses and cheap jewelry. But with a flourish, Hazanavicius transports you back in time to a dazzling Hollywood premiere. 1927, the era of Mary Pickford, Charlie Chaplin, Douglas Fairbanks.
It's a mythic.
The movie, The Artist, follows the decline of a dashing silent film star. Imagine Fairbanks with a whiff of Rudolph Valentino. He's playfully virile with a pencil mustache. But the newfangled talkies leave him behind, even as his lovely tap-dancing protege blossoms into a new screen darling. Director Michel Hazanavicius thinks every director secretly yearns to make a silent film. It's cinematic storytelling at its purest. And the artist is immersive in the same way great radio can be. There's a sense missing. Your brain fills it in.
So you do it with your own imagination, with your own ghosts, your own life, your own sounds, your own reference. So it makes the movie much more yours in a way.
I saw the artist with someone who swore later he could remember what the actors sounded like. The film's critically adored, it's a smash in France, and the lead won the Best Actor Award at the Cannes Film Festival. Still,
how difficult was it to get people to finance a silent black and white movie?
Yeah, that was one of the most difficult parts of the entire process.
What helped Hassan Avicius was the fact that back at home he'd made two hit comedies about a French secret agent.
Ça va, Jack?
Ça va bien.
Alors, allons redresser cet avion.
If you're ever bored one night at home, it's worth checking out the OSS 117 movies. They happen to star the same two leads as the artist. So producers signed on, reluctantly, to Hassan Avicius' wild dream of filming a black-and-white silent movie on location in Los Angeles.
They didn't say no exactly, but it was a very shy yes.
The Artist was shot on classic old Hollywood backlots, as well as historic locations here. The cast includes some great American faces. Character actors like John Goodman and James Cromwell, who you maybe remember from 6 Feet Under and Babe.
My goal was not to be in a silent picture.
Cromwell says most actors prefer to be heard. They're accustomed to using their voices and acting in ways that work in contemporary film.
The trick is to always come under in the performance and do very, very little with your face. Your face, you keep your eyes open always because you don't want to blink, because when you blink, the director's going to cut away from you. So you betray as little of your inner life through your face as possible, and everything is done by the dialogue.
Acting in a silent picture meant rediscovering how your face and body could express your character. Of course, music also does a lot of the emotional heavy lifting in a silent film. Director Michel Hassan Avicius played it as the actors worked to set the mood. Now, as he ambles down a particularly noisy Los Angeles street, he says it was a real benefit not to have to worry, say, about sirens.
What's great with a silent movie is that that kind of sound doesn't... It's okay, you can shoot.
The mechanics of silent film production was also a blessing for one of the film's other stars, a scruffy dog whose trainer could bark orders while the cameras were rolling.
Usually he has to wait for the actors to stop talking. He could really talk to his dog during the shooting, and maybe that's why the dog is so good in the movie.
So good, the dog actually won a special award.
La Palme Dog, which is a pun on La Palme d'Or and La Palme Dog. I think it's a bone or something.
If Oscar watchers are right, Hassan Avicius may take home the movie world's biggest bone of all, the Oscar for Best Picture. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 22nd of November, 2011. It's the birthday of André Gide, born in Paris.